furloughs or not. Air travelers see delays. Antares makes a successful test flight, and Boeing begins battery modifications to the 787. This is Aero News for Tuesday, April 23, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. Delays predicted by President Obama, Secretary of Transportation Ray LaHood, and FAA Administrator Michael Huerta became a reality Sunday as planes stacked up at airports and passengers stewed at their gates and on arrival. The delays began almost immediately after the first furloughs went into effect. New York's LaGuardia and John F. Kennedy airports reported delays of more than an hour, with similar delays reported out of Philadelphia. Both cities said it was due to the furloughs. Los Angeles International said its delays were closer to 2 hours. The Associated Press reports that by Monday in some areas, it had gotten worse, with delays of more than 2 hours being common. The FAA placed ground stops on many flights along the East Coast, saying there were not enough people to keep up with the traffic in some of the busiest corridors. As an example, a U.S. Airways shuttle scheduled to depart from Reagan National Airport at 0800 Eastern Daylight Time Monday pushed back 6 minutes early, but did not depart until 0958 a.m., according to the AP. But the Atlantic Wire reported Monday that the delays were confined to areas with normally heavy traffic. FlightAware listed only 4 airports experiencing considerable delays, 3 in New York City, where 2-hour delays are not uncommon. Los Angeles International was the 4th, but in most of the rest of the country, it appeared to be business as usual. The furloughs are planned through September, and the FAA says they will account for some $200 million of the $630 million that it must cut under the sequester. Sunday evening saw Orbital Sciences Corporation achieve another significant milestone in NASA's plan to rely on American companies to launch supplies and astronauts to the International Space Station, with the successful first launch of the Antares rocket. Liftoff took place at 1700 Eastern Daylight from the Mid-Atlantic Regional Spaceport Pad 0A at the agency's Wallops Flight Facility in Virginia. Antares delivered the equivalent mass of a spacecraft, a so-called mass-simulated payload, into Earth orbit. The test flight demonstrated all operational aspects of the new Antares launcher, including the ascent to space and accurate delivery of that simulated payload to a target orbit, the same launch profile it will use for upcoming cargo supply missions to the International Space Station. Orbital is building and testing its Antares rocket and Cygnus spacecraft under NASA's Commercial Orbital Transportation Services, or COTS, program. After successful completion of a COTS demonstration mission to the station, Orbital will begin conducting 8 planned cargo resupply flights to the orbiting laboratory through NASA's $1.9 billion CRS contract with the company. The approval of battery system improvements for the 787 Dreamliner by the FAA clears the way now for Boeing and its customers to install the approved modifications and will lead to a return to service and resumption of new production deliveries. Boeing has deployed teams to locations around the world to begin installing improved battery systems on 787s. Kits with the parts needed for the new battery systems are staged for shipment, and new batteries will also be shipped immediately. Boeing will also begin installing the changes on new airplanes at the company's 2 787 final assembly plants, with deliveries expected to resume in the weeks ahead. The FAA's action will permit the return to service of 787s in the United States upon installation of the improvements. For 787s based and modified outside the United States, local regulatory authorities provide the final approval for return to service. Despite the disruption in deliveries that began back in January, Boeing expects to complete all planned 2013 deliveries by the end of this year. Groundworkers, upset with the progress of contract negotiations with Lufthansa, called a one-day strike against the airline Monday, nearly grounding the airline for a day. The BBC reports that only 32 of a scheduled 1,700 scheduled Lufthansa flights operated on Monday. The Air Force's last 4 MC-130E Combat Talon 1s spread their wings for a final mission from their home at Duke Field on April 15th. The Talons will be officially retired in a ceremony at Duke Field on April 25th, and the aircraft will then be flown to the Boneyard at Davis-Monthan Air Force Base in Arizona. April 25th commemorates the 33rd anniversary of the Desert One mission to free the Iranian hostages. Several of the MC-130Es at Duke Field took part in that mission. When AeroNews continues, Boeing adjusts its 747-8 production rates. Hang gliders win back a favorite flying area, and balloons launch again in Luxor, Egypt.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now. For Tuesday, April 23rd, I'm Glenn Moyer. Boeing will adjust the production rate for the 747-8 program from 2 airplanes to 1.75 airplanes per month because of lower market demand for large passenger and freighter airplanes. The 747-8 family provides airlines with double-digit improvements in fuel burn, operating costs, and emissions, while being 30% quieter and adding more capacity. To date, there are 110 orders for passenger and cargo versions of the 747-8, 46 of which have been delivered. The company expects long-term average growth in the air cargo market to resume in 2014 and forecasts a demand for 790 large airplanes, such as the 747-8 Intercontinental, to be delivered worldwide over the next 20 years. The production rate change is not expected to have a significant financial impact. The Boise Weekly reports that an agreement has been reached that will reopen Hammer Flat near Boise, Idaho, to hang gliders and paragliders beginning May 1st. The area had been a popular hang gliding spot for some 30 years, but 3 years ago, the city of Boise and then the Idaho Department of Fish and Game took control of the area, considered crucial habitat for a variety of wildlife in the region, and padlocked the gates. Now, with the Boise City Council voicing support for the sporting legacy of the area, the IDFG and the Idaho Hang Gliding Association have worked out a special permit that will allow hang gliding from May 1st to November 15th, when wintering deer do not depend on the area for winter range. IHGA spokesman John Kangas says the warmer months suit the hang gliders just fine, and the IDFG Regional Wildlife Habitat Manager, Jerry Deal, said that the association had convinced him that Hammer Flat was not just another place to hang glide or paraglide. Quote, "It's special," he said. "They convinced me of that," end quote. Tourists can once again drink in the sights of Egypt's pyramids from hot air balloons, as the government there has lifted a ban on such rides, put into effect in February. Tourists from multiple countries, along with the provincial governor Izzat Saad, took off Sunday morning aboard 6 balloons for the first sightseeing trips allowed since a balloon caught fire and went down in February. That accident resulted in the fatal injury of 19 people and the serious injury of 2 others. While most of the companies have been allowed to resume flights, a report appearing in Aram Online, relayed by UPI, indicates that the Egyptian Civil Aviation Minister has not cleared Sky Tours, the company which owned the balloon involved in the accident, for continued flying until an investigation has been completed. Investigators say they are focusing on a gas canister that caught fire as the likely cause of the accident. Shortly after the accident, balloon tour operators threatened to protest if the ban was not lifted. The ballooning business employs hundreds of people in the region, all of whom were laid off when the ban on flights was put into place. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared, without delay, for departure.